Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hello, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is wonderful.
This is a show.
And nobody can tell us it's not.
A lot of people try, though. They're like, that's not a show. And we're like, it's like 30 minutes long, and it's two people talking, and there's commercials on it sometimes. If that's not show, I don't know what it is.
I know. They're like, wonderful is a word I say. That is not anything I listen to.
Yeah, but then I'm like, Serial? Heard of it? This is a show where we talk about things we like that are good that we're into. And do you have any small wonders?
Oh, I mean, okay, so we finished Love Village.
We did finish Love Village.
I was excited. I went fishing to see if anybody else was watching it because I missed my community of watchers. And there were a lot of other people that took up Love Village.
Very exciting. Finishes strong. Finishes wild.
I know. I found myself thinking like, wait, what's going to... Because, you know, when you watch a new show and there's all these like arcane rules that you don't really understand, I was like, wait, so... How do they leave?
Yeah.
Like, if they don't confess, what happens to them?
They are ushered out by a big, tall man who comes in, and he's got a big flashlight, and he says, this way, please. You must leave. Mm-hmm. You must leave Love Village now. You're here for the wrong reasons.
What's your small wonder?
We hopped right off that, right onto another Netflix reality program that we've only watched a couple episodes of so far, but I can't stop thinking about it. It's called Siren Survive the Island, I believe is what it's called.
I think that's right. Yeah, my dad recommended it to us, saying that it was like Survivor, but violent.
Big ups, David. It is a Korean competition reality show where six teams of four women representing six different professions,
I guess. Yeah.
There's firefighter, police, military, stunt, guard.
Yeah.
And I can never remember the sixth one. Athlete.
Yes, athlete. Yes.
There's a returning cast member from Physical 100, which is very, very exciting. Anyway, it's a big game of Capture the Flag set on an island where they have sort of like survivor-like endurance test challenges that they can use to get sort of like benefits that they use in the raid battles where you have to break into a team's base, which they have different bases scattered throughout the island, and steal their flag.
I was really skittish at first because it's one of those shows where in the first minute, as a teaser, they show you what are basically the most dramatic moments of the series.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, this seems really intense.
Yeah, it opens up with just like fighting. And that's not great. That's usually our least favorite part of Survivor is like the challenges where it's like, wrestle in the mud, you dirty fucking pigs.
But then in
choke
the first,
each other out to try and grab that big ball.
And then in the first episode, they're like, here are the different bases and the benefits and, you know, disadvantages of each base. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
I'm fucking sold so hard. The cinematography is bonkers. We watched the first episode with a base battle last night, and it was jaw-dropping.
There must be like 100 cameramen on that.
There must be.
It's unreal.
It kicks ass. We were whooping and hollering at this first base battle episode. It kicks ass. I can't stop thinking about it. I'm not wild about people beating each other up.
Yeah.
And so far it doesn't seem, it's like Capture the Flag, right? So everybody has a flag on their back, and if your flag gets taken, you're out. So like that's in theory should be as physical as it gets. And yet, like, when someone is hiding their flag on the roof of their building and people are trying to climb up the building, like, there's going to be a scuffle. There's going to be a fracas.
I think it is going to get more violent as people are immersed in the world longer, because the first couple episodes are like, can we do this? Like, they're here and they're looking at us. Is
people
that
are looking
allowed?
In our windows. Is that okay?
Yeah,
there's a weird, like, before the first base battle, like, a politeness that is expected. Like, excuse me, you are looking at our things.
I imagine
stop
by the last
that.
Episode, it's going to be pretty grisly.
Well, as soon as the first base battle starts, it's like, I'm going to smash your fucking windows. It completely Lord of the Flies drops. There's the titular siren is a stunning piece of sound design that is just terrifying, because you don't know when it's going to go off. That's what signifies, hey, it's time for the base battle. You don't know when it's going to happen. And so everybody is kind of like on their toes all the time, ready for this big, very aggressive game of Capture the Flag to happen. There's like alliances that get formed, and a lot of sort of like trepidation that I find like very, I don't know, like if I was on this show and it was like time for a base battle, I would be so paralyzed with fear and uncertainty. And it's nice to see that is also what happens to everybody else who's like, do we just stay here? We should just stay here, right?
I know. And the longer they wait, the more they're like, maybe nobody's coming. Maybe we should go.
Yeah. It's wild. Very, very, very neat show. I don't know how it's going to unfold, but the concept is like bonkers. I go first this week.
Yes.
And I'm about to talk about another television show, which I don't usually do here.
Okay.
But I've been thinking about it a lot lately. It's Last Man on Earth.
Oh.
Last Man on Earth. It was just a wild, just beautiful unicorn of a television show that ran for four seasons from 2015 to 2018. It was co-created by Christopher Miller and Phil Lord from the Spider-Verse films and the Lego movie and a bunch of other stuff. They are on some next level shit. That's like that. Their shit is just so good. But they co-created the show with Will Forte, who also stars as the titular last. I've said that word a lot. I don't like it. But he's the last man on Earth. He is Phil Tandy Miller, as his character's name. So in this show, nearly all of humanity has been wiped out by a virus in the year 2020, which, looking back, kind of not great.
Right?
Kind of a cold shot. I cannot believe it is a television show that got made, let alone got four seasons. Although it did end on a cliffhanger that felt like it kind of went before its rightful time.
Yeah.
It very much feels like a blank check project for Phil Lord and Christopher Miller of just like, here's a big thing, go do it and have fun. You got, we're Fox, here's $1 billion, go have fun, guys. We trust you. See you later. So when the series starts, Phil is seemingly the last living human on Earth, and he spends his days just kind of fucking around in ways that are only possible in the post-apocalypse and are just really funny. There's like he sets up mannequins as bowling pins in like the abandoned parking lot of some Costco and then smashes into them. And a recurring gag is that when he gets bummed out, he just makes a kiddie pool full of margarita that he bathes in and drinks at the same time.
It's like, we used to watch Walking Dead, and it was like so refreshing to see somebody in this like survival circumstance kind of doing what I think most people would do, which is at first it's like, I got to entertain myself. Like,
yeah.
I'm not necessarily focused on survival 24 hours a day.
There's they cite a lot of those types of things as inspiration for like the world of the show, right? There's no zombies in Last Man on Earth, but there is a lot of sort of that like 28 Days Later, Omega Man, shit. What was the Will Smith one? You know, the Will Smith one, the Will Smith vampire zombie movie. There's a lot of that sort of like bleakness, but unlike Walking Dead, where everybody's just like a hardened motherfucker because they're the only ones that survive, the people who are survivors in this world have seemingly just sort of been spared at random by genetics. And so they are all just sort of hapless goofballs, which is really fun because it takes that bleak setting and then fills it with like just dum-dums. And that's
it's also
very good
like the other thing that's fun about it is the way that they like reveal characters as the series goes on.
Yes.
And you as the viewer don't really know who's coming or if there's going to even be any more people.
Right.
And to see kind of how that changes the shape of the show, like it just feels very organic.
Right.
It's really fun to watch.
The title is misleading because he is not the last man on Earth. You very quickly realize.
Although when the series started, I was like, is this whole thing just Will Forte?
Just fucking around. I would watch it. No, in the first episode, he meets Kristen Schaal's character.
Yeah.
And then they get married. Because they have to repopulate the planet, but she doesn't want to do it out of wedlock. And then right after they get married, they meet January Jones. Yeah. And then Phil Tandy Miller is like, oh, damn it. Because he wish he hadn't married Kristen Schaal's character. He is a like lazy, self-centered, just shit heel.
Yeah.
And watching him kind of try to fit in with this growing group of survivors and become like a better person, which is an agonizing process because he almost always makes the most selfish decision that is possible, is like, I don't know. There's something about the way that they unfold it so slowly that it feels like very real and very good when he starts making decisions.
Yeah, it's relatable to like anytime you start anything new, like a new school year or a new job, and you're kind of like scoping out who's around you and like what your relationship with them is going to be.
Yeah.
Like that happens over and over again in this show.
Everybody turns out a great performance. Rachel mentioned that there's like a bigger group of people out there than you initially expect. here are some stars of the show. Kristen Schaal, January Jones, Mary Steenburgen. Steenburgen?
I always heard Burgen.
Okay, me too. Jason Sudeikis, Kenneth Choi, Kristen Wiig, Fred Armisen, all in recurring roles. There's lots of brief guest appearances from Will Ferrell, whose turn on the show is hysterical. Very, very, very brief run on the show. John Hamm, Laura Dern, Jack Black, Chris Elliott. A lot of incredibly funny people are in this show, and as a result, it is like very often just hysterically funny. So originally, Phil Lord and Chris Miller pitched this idea as a feature film, and they approached Will Forte with it because they'd worked with him a few times in the past about developing it into something. And apparently Will Forte just like fell head over heels in love with the idea. And so they developed the pitch for the whole first season over a weekend. And they were nervous that like no network was going to pick it up because it was going to be like a pretty big, you know, a pretty big project, a pretty expensive project. And yet, like, even though it was an incredibly ambitious thing, Fox picked it up and was like shockingly hands off, giving them just the creative freedom to make something really unique and really weird and special. And it really touches a lot of storytelling things that I like that I don't know I've ever seen in one like package before. Like the kind of survival story of them looking for a safe place to be and finding resources and learning how to like take care of themselves on top of these like slapstick humor moments, these outrageous moments of post-apocalyptic life. Those two extremes really pull against each other constantly, and it occasionally results in something that is genuinely sweet and kind-hearted, while also sort of featuring some of the like darkest impulses of humanity. It does it all. It bounces between these extremes, and it's just so unpredictable and so fun. It is also flawed. Like, I think back about some of the character arcs that happened on this show that were just stinkers from start to finish. There's one season where January Jones is just catatonic basically for the whole season.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of frustrating. They also kill off characters like The Walking Dead does.
Yeah.
Not in the horrific, graphic ways that The Walking Dead does, but like at one point a character gets appendicitis and everybody's like, oh shit, I guess one of us has to learn how to do surgery.
Yeah.
And it's like a horrific, it's yeah, a moment of like, of terror and sorrow on top of this show that doesn't usually cater to moments.
Characters
like
get pregnant and have to have babies.
And have to figure out how to do that. Yeah. So like it doesn't shy away from the elements that you see in a lot of sort of survival shows like Walking Dead and the like. The only thing that's different is that all the characters in it are really funny. And that is so fascinating how you can, I don't know how you do that, like as a writer, how you can take two and like diametrically opposed elements from two different stories and put them together into something that is more than the sum of its parts.
Like a show where everyone's funny too. That's like so rare in shows like this. Like usually there's like the two funny people and then everybody else is super serious and has a lot of very special skills.
Yeah. No, it's not that. It's everybody. Occasionally one like very serious person like joins the group and then there's friction that comes up around that because they can't take anybody else seriously when they're, you know, drinking margarita pools and stuff.
Yeah.
So in its four seasons, it did stuff I've never seen any television show before and had moments that were just so funny. And they are moments that would not have happened without this enormous budget and like total like creative freedom that they were allowed for like reasons beyond my comprehension. Like TV shows
don't get greenlit
like this and they don't get made like this. Obviously like Phil Lord and Chris Miller, you know, had some heat behind their name when they started working on this, and Will Forte, you know, had been on SNL for 100 years. But still, I cannot believe that this show got made.
When it got canceled, it was like we were at the same time, like sad and also like,
we
expected it at some point. Yeah.
It does end on a cliffhanger, though, that is like pretty pretty wild, like pretty, it expands the world in a sort of exponential way. They're like, oh shit, what could this possibly mean for the, we'll never know. We'll never, ever know. But anyway, that's Last Man on Earth. It's probably streaming. You can probably stream it somewhere. I don't
somewhere.
Know. I'm not like in the media. I'm not like a media guy. Kind of more of a books dude.
Oh yeah, no, I know that about you.
Can I steal you away?
Yeah.
We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service. String
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten
yeah.
about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway. Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's Electric e-bikes.com.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of cosmic rays, the morals of art forgery, and whether or not fish can drown. Any questions? Yes, you in the back.
What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else. My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Hey, let us guess. You love books, but wish you had more time to read.
Or maybe you used to read a lot, but life has gotten in the way, kids, grad school, you name it.
Maybe you don't know where to start, and bookish social media is overwhelming. How do people on TikTok read so many books?
Oh my God, I don't know. And maybe you've been reading the same book for 6 months, and now it's permanently attached to your bedside table.
Maybe you don't even know what you like to read anymore.
We're Reading Glasses, and don't worry, we got you.
We'll get you back into reading and help you enjoy books again.
Reading Glasses, every week on Maximum Fun.
So my thing this week is Twister.
This is a surprise.
Not the 1996 film.
Honestly, it could have gone either way, and I would have been totally down to clown.
Which I actually really did enjoy.
Of course.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the game Twister.
Okay. I don't want to cast aspersions. I've never known you to be especially sort of touchy-feely with lots of people in a gamified manner.
Here is the nuance of Twister that
okay.
I like.
Okay.
As a young person, very prudish.
Yeah.
Never wanted to make it seem like I wanted to touch someone.
This is a lot you're putting on our audience. Like, I'm ready for it. You know I'm ready for it. This is a lot to put on the crowd.
I have to imagine that this is not uncommon. That is why I'm expressing it so openly.
That there's lots of people who do Twister for just to get some touch?
Yes.
Without having to say?
Yes. Honestly, yes.
All right.
Period, yes.
Okay.
I think it's like whenever there are rules that...
Touching rules. Sorry, I'm going to keep contextualizing this in a way that I think our listeners will find helpful.
It's like, for example, the reason I thought I was good at group therapy was because the job was to come in and to say vulnerable things about yourself. So when I did it, I felt like I'm just doing this the way it's supposed to be done.
Yeah.
Twister, oh no, my arm is touching your arm. It's supposed to happen.
This is a lot.
So I'm not like making a move. I'm not exposing any desire here. I am just playing the game as it is meant to be played.
Yeah, we're all playing Twister. We're all doing the same thing. So it's not weird if my arm touches your arm. You shouldn't have put your arm on that yellow dot knowing that my foot was going to have to go crosswise over it under your armpit to the red dot. So really, we're both.
Here's the thing, right? When you went to a movie with a person when you were a teen.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you didn't know how much was in play, right?
Yes.
Like you would sit next to a person in a theater. And it was like the steps were kind of clear, but how far the steps were going to go were uncertain.
Yeah, I know. Twister. I mean, that wasn't really an issue for me. You know.
Because you had a written contract at the beginning.
Every time I went to the movies.
It was like, here, check the boxes interest to you.
Yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a smiley face pain scale. 10? Holy shit. Are you sure?
Yeah, but Twister, it was like, okay, you spin this thing. It tells you where to put your hand.
Yeah.
There are a set number of circles, so there can only be a set number of players.
Right.
And then just don't fall over.
Don't fall down.
That's it. That's Twister.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is not a game, obviously, that I have played recently. You get to a certain age, and touching somebody else is a little bit... I don't know, more comfortable.
I bet you Henry would have a ball.
Yeah, that's the thing. It is also timeless.
Yeah.
When is this game going to go out of style? I can't imagine ever.
I mean, I don't think a lot of people are playing it. And I would argue it's already kind of gone out of style. I don't hear a lot of buzz about
Twister.
Well,
there are a lot of new variations of Twister that I will get to.
Okay.
Okay, so Twister, 1969. Chuck Foley and Neil Rabens were awarded a patent for their invention, quote, apparatus for playing a game wherein the players constitute the game pieces.
Okay.
Isn't that like a overarching like thing?
That seems like a lot.
That could be a lot of games.
You're describing sports, kind of.
That's true. It was applied for patents under the name Pretzel. And Chuck Foley joined a house of design, a St. Paul company, where they developed Twister.
They must have really broke the brain trust on that one. Just like blue, red, yellow, green circles on a big thing. Yep, cool. Let's go.
Apparently, Mr. Foley received no royalties for the game, which is what his son said, and received $27,000 in a buyout. Was like, thanks for your idea. Go on your way.
You owe him so much for the just amount of touch you were able to give and receive.
I want to make clear, it's not like I was handsy.
No.
It was just like I was at a point.
You were forearmsy because the hand goes on the dot.
Exactly.
Right.
So Milton Bradley brought Twister to the world, and competitors accused the company of selling, quote, sex in a box.
Whoa, holy shit.
There were a lot of retailers that refused to stock the game, and they thought it threatened their family-friendly appearance.
In 1969? This is Summer of Love.
I know. I think there was just a lot of nervousness, right?
Yeah.
Like, there were the people in power that were making the decisions, and then there was everybody else that was, like, super ready to, you know, party.
Freaking Banksy over here. Tell me more about the people in power who didn't want us to touch.
So part of the reason Twister became so popular was there was an episode of The Tonight Show where Johnny Carson played Twister with a starlet of the time, which got everybody excited about it. And as I mentioned, a lot of stores were like, we're not, that game's dangerous. We're not going to put that game. But one of the first retailers to do it was Abercrombie & Fitch.
The fuck?
They used to be like a sporting equipment store. So they had like tennis shoes and like, you know, elephant guns and Twister.
Sorry. They had elephant guns at Abercrombie?
Probably not at the same time.
I like girls who shop at Abercrombie, bitch. They buy guns. They buy guns.
Probably not at the same time. Abercrombie & Fitch has been around since 1892.
The fuck? No way!
I know. I know. But this segment is not about...
It would have been way more fun if you had asked me what year Abercrombie & Fitch was started. I would have said probably 2002 with a line of polo shirts and body sprays.
Exactly.
But they were instead selling sex games and elephant guns.
So they decided to sell Twister, and when the store opened, they had like 50 people waiting outside.
Jesus,
like, this is the only place I can go to get Twister.
I need this.
And so part of what they did with the packaging, so they didn't want it to be sold as a sex game. So they intentionally used cartoon characters on the front. If you think about it, I looked at a lot of different Twister advertisements. It's challenging to put two people in a position on a Twister mat that isn't suggestive.
Compromising? Yeah, sure.
So there was a lot of people in like a crab position.
Yeah.
Which, you know, would be difficult, I think, to be an aggressor in that position. And so there was a suggestion of like, look, it's crab.
It's crab.
It's crab.
It's crab. This can't be sex. It's crab. You've never seen sex crab, have you? No.
In the 12 months after the game appeared on Johnny Carson, it sold 3 million units.
So horny.
There are also some new variations. So this is what I was telling you about. There is a version to make Twister available to people that are colorblind.
Okay.
There is a version that is tactile. So if you, you know, are not able to see the circles, there are feelings of like symbols the circles. There's Twister Splash, which is basically a splash pad.
Like
water
that.
Is coming up through.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Twister Junior, which has animal faces on the colors.
Cute.
Twister Shapes, which like blindfolded Twister is the shapes. And Twister Ultimate, which has two times the spots. So you can bring more players into the mix.
That's cool.
So Twister is still evolving. I was kind of surprised about that because I was like, oh, it's just been the same game forever. But apparently the creative group that developed it continues to work closely with the Twister products to make sure that it follows, I guess, the original intent.
I love that.
It is now owned. So Hasbro acquired Milton Bradley, and they now are your Twister dealers.
I am not a big Twister fan, but I will say that it does create... I love games that create moments that are not possible or just don't happen in other types of games.
Yeah, yeah.
And Twister does have that amazing moment when you are on the board, just sort of like all crabbed out.
Yeah.
And then you watch the spinner land on like the one dot that you know is going to be either impossible for you to contort your body to or will require you to... you know, limbo underneath your brother's leg. that moment of like, ah, fuck, is not like anything else. It's not like when somebody like, you know, plays a you know, you land on the wrong spot on Monopoly. And yeah. It's like, ah, oh, man. In Twister, when the wrong spot comes up, it's like, I'm going to fall down. And that doesn't happen in other games. And that's very exciting.
That's true. Thank you for making it more wholesome than I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I really didn't intend for this whole segment to be like.
So riled up.
Yeah. Quite so charged. I was just being honest about me as a youth. Sure. And I don't think that was the sole reason I played Twister. No. I want to like walk it back a little bit.
I think Twister is
I wasn't like at a party being like, hey guys, I don't know.
I did bring Twister.
Twister, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. Like, well, yeah, I guess we could.
This is a wake. No, I mean, Twister's a fine game. It's a fine chaste experience. I think everybody's probably had at least one experience with Twister that they were like, whoa. Touch, right? But that's not the I don't think the intended use case of the project.
Yeah. I think you would be good at it. I think you're quite flexible. I am
actually pretty flexible.
I think I was expecting to come to this segment and you'd be like, oh yeah, Twister, I like ran that game.
I mean, I'm pretty good at Twister. I would imagine that in my current age, my lack of stamina and just general achiness.
Do have to support your body weight for a pretty long time.
Yeah, that's not great for me. But yeah, Twister's fun. We played it at church a lot, so it can't be that bad. Hey, do you want to know what our friends at home are talking about?
Yes.
Silas says, hello, my small wonder this week is the poses that models do in beanbags to advertise them. I was shopping for a beanbag online this week, as one does, and it was delightful how simultaneously cozy and silly the models looked in the accompanying photos. I mean, I can just sort of swipe you through these are some big boy beanbag chairs, and these people are just being completely consumed by these bad boys. I bet you that's a fun modeling gig. You just want me to squanch down in there and, okay, cool.
I like that. That's not anything I ever would have considered. So I really appreciate that listener submission.
Yeah. Manda says, Griffin bringing up Tupperware in the most recent episode reminded me of my small wonder, the subtle superpower. Something minor that you're really, really good at. My mom, for example, can always find the perfect size Tupperware for leftovers.
Wow.
Do you feel like you have something like this?
Do I feel like I have that talent?
Yeah.
Not particularly, no.
Okay.
I mean, I can generally do pretty well, but I don't feel like it's a gift.
I think I'm pretty good at knowing when people are lying. I judge myself on not in a useful way. It's not like poker face over there. But I feel like when somebody's phonying down.
Yeah.
I feel like I have a pretty good hit rate on picking up.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm a terrible poker player. Yeah. So it's like weirdly like it only happens in certain times, but I
along that line, if somebody tells a story about themselves, I can always tell when they were planning to tell that story the whole conversation.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
A lot of times when we watch reality television, I feel like this is part of the reason it is so enjoyable for us, is we will watch reality television and we will both look at each other like, oh, man, he's been waiting all season to get that story out.
It's on a almost somewhat related note. Yesterday, we were driving in a car with Henry and he was talking. He was on his iPad and he was getting car sick. And so we're like, well, just don't play any games. He's like, okay. And then I heard him playing a game and I wasn't like upset or anything. I just didn't want him to get car sick. And so I was like, what are you playing? And he's like, oh, I'm watching a video and then a beat. And he goes, all right, you caught me in 4K. I'm playing a game. And I laughed so hard. I had never heard that before. He caught me in 4K. He said it in a way that like, you know what this means, right? And then I commented to Rachel later, like, I think that's the first time that our son has used some sort of modern lingo that I'm unfamiliar with. And I thought we would have a little bit more time. I thought we would make it to at least, you know, third grade.
Yeah.
But not kindergarten. He's already schooling.
Here we are.
I love it. Thank you to Bowen and Augustus for these, for our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. And thank you to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. Go to MaximumFun.org. Check out all the great stuff that they got there. You're going to find something you like. I guarantee it. We got shows coming up, including on this Friday, we're going to be in Raleigh doing my brother and me with wonderful opening.
Yes.
So don't miss that. We're also going to be doing Taz the next day, Saturday in Raleigh, and then we're doing Mabim Bam in Richmond. And no opener on that one, just all Mabim Bam coming down the pipe. So go to McElroyTours.com, I believe, or bit.ly/McElroyTours. Just go to McElroy.family and you'll find
that's what
just
I do.
Everything. That's what I do too, because I can't keep a bunch of URLs up here.
No.
We got new merch over at McElroyMerch.com. And there's some fun stuff. July, we're going to have even more every month. New stuff up in there. So check it totally out. That's it. We started ending Mabim Bam with a sonic bath, which is like the best idea ever because we don't have to say or do anything.
I can't wait for you guys to do that live for the first time.
Oh, shit. We're going to have to, aren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. So we can't do that.
No, we can't.
I would love a nice uniform outro for this podcast program.
We used to when we did Rose Buddies.
What'd we say? Don't drill a hole in your head?
When you're ready.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That doesn't make sense for us.
No.
No. Keep it real. Have a great summer.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.